Welcome to The Notion of You. I'm Tashi Jones. And today, I want to start softly. Because guilt shouldn't be met with force. It needs to be met with compassion. This episode is for the woman who feels a knot in her chest the moment she chooses herself. The mom who hesitates before resting. Who second guesses every boundary, who hears an invisible voice whisper, "A good mom wouldn't need this." Before we go anywhere, let's pause together. If you're driving, keep your eyes on the road, but let your grip on the steering wheel soften. If you're folding laundry, let your shoulders drop just a little. If you're scrolling because your nervous system doesn't know what else to do, see if you can stop for just a breath. This isn't a deep performance breath. Just notice the one you're already taking. And slowly let it deepen naturally. Let your jaw unclench. Move your head from side to side. Let your body know you're not in trouble here. You are safe. I want you to treat this podcast like two friends sitting across from each other at the coffee shop. No fixing, no optimizing, no trying to be better at the end of the episode. Just presence, just honesty, just a soft place to land. Because guilt has a way of tightening us. It convinces us we're doing something wrong simply by being human, by having needs, by wanting space to breathe, to create, to rest, to become. I know that feeling intimately. There were seasons when taking even 10 minutes for myself felt indulgent. When rest came with a running mental tally of everything I should be doing instead. When self-care felt like something I had to earn by exhaustion. That guilt didn't come from nowhere. It was learned. It was absorbed. It was inherited and reinforced in subtle ways over the years. So if you feel it too, nothing has gone wrong. It makes sense. Today isn't about shaming that guilt or pushing it away. It's about getting curious. It's about loosening its grip. I'm about remembering you are allowed to exist as a whole person and not just a role. Take one more gentle breath with me. Let your body settle. Let yourself arrive. We'll move slowly here. There's a moment that keeps replaying for me. My daughter was having a hard day. One of those days where everything just feels like too much inside her little body. The tears came fast. Her breath was shallow. Her nervous system was loud. I sat on the floor with her without even thinking about it. My voice softening, I let her come sit on my lap. I told her she was safe. That there was nothing wrong with her. That it was okay to have big feelings. I didn't rush her. I didn't tell her to calm down. I didn't explain away why she shouldn't be upset. I just stayed, holding her, my breath slow enough for hers to find. And later that same day, I needed a moment. Not a dramatic one, just a quick pause, 10 minutes to sit. To stare out the window, to not be needed. But that voice in my head showed up immediately. Why are you sitting? You could be doing something productive. A good mom doesn't need a timeout. You chose this life.
That contrast stopped me cold. Because I would never speak to her the way I speak to myself. I would never tell her her feelings were inconvenient. I would never suggest she needed to earn comfort. I would never frame her needs as a failure of character. But somehow, the rules didn't apply to me. And underneath all of that was an old belief I didn't even realize I was still carrying. That being a good mom meant constant self-sacrifice. That my needs were optional.
That ambition, rest, creativity, or even quiet were things that I could just return to later, after everyone else was taken care of, after I had proved myself to be enough. That belief didn't feel dramatic at the time. It felt responsible, noble, but in my body, it felt like tightness, like a resentment I didn't want to admit to, like exhaustion that no amount of sleep ever seemed to touch. What I've learned is that our nervous systems are always listening to the stories we tell ourselves. And mine was very clearly absorbing that message, that care flowed one direction only, outward. And when care starts to flow outward for too long, something inside starts to wither. I wasn't angry at my daughter, but I was disconnected from myself. That moment became a quiet reckoning. Not because I fixed anything right away, but because I noticed that double standard. The way compassion stopped at the edge of my own skin. This isn't something you'll ever be able to unsee. And you might start to wonder what else you've been carrying that was never meant to be permanent. I'm going to pause. I want you to feel what just came up in your body as we talked about that. This isn't fixing, just noticing. I want to slow this part down because this is where most of us rush to conclusions or try and fix ourselves too quickly. Mom guilt isn't a personal flaw. It's a pattern. It's a learned response. It's a nervous system reflex that's shaped by stories that we absorbed long before we ever held our babies. Most of us didn't wake up one day and decide, I'm going to feel guilty for existing today. Instead, it was conditioned, modeled, praised even. We watched women celebrate for how much they gave and how little they needed, how quietly they endured. We learned that exhaustion meant devotion and that depletion was proof of love. So when the guilt shows up, it's not because you're doing motherhood wrong. It's because your system is still running from an old operating system. The one that says good moms disappear. The belief beneath that guilt is rarely, I'm bad. It's usually, I'm unsafe if I take up space.
that unsafeness comes from judgment, from rejection, from the idea that someone might think we're selfish, lazy, or not enough. Your nervous system is trying to keep you connected. Belonging used to depend on self-erasure. So your body learned that prioritizing yourself was a threat. It's important to name this because guilt often feels moral, but it's actually biological. It's your system saying, this feels unfamiliar. This feels risky. This feels like it might cost us love. And when you start to see it that way, some of the shame begins to loosen. Here's something I noticed when I really started to pay attention. That guilt became the loudest, not when I wanted rest, but when I wanted growth. When I wanted to create, when I wanted to expand beyond survival mode. Rest felt indulgent, but desire felt dangerous. Because ambition doesn't fit into the self-sacrificing mother narrative. Wanting more than maintenance disrupts the story. So the guilt would show up dressed as responsibility. You should be grateful. You chose this. Other moms do more. Why can't you just be content? Those thoughts feel like truth when you don't question them. Because when I slowed down and actually listened, I realized something really important. Those weren't my values speaking. They were inherited rules. And there's a huge difference. Your values feel grounding, anchoring, whereas rules feel rigid, punishing, urgent. And the guilt thrives on unexamined rules. One of the most revealing practices for me was noticing how differently I spoke to my daughter compared to how I spoke to myself. When she was tired, I didn't tell her to push through. When she needed reassurance, I didn't accuse her of being needy. When she wanted comfort, I didn't ask her what she had done to deserve it. I met her where she was. But with myself, there was always a bar to clear first. Finish the task. Earn the break. Do more. Be better. That's not discipline. That's conditional care. And conditional care teaches your nervous system that love is something you have to perform for. So here's the reframe that'll change it. I want you to feel into this slowly and not just mentally understanding. Your thriving is not separate from your family's well-being. It's part of it. Not just in a pretty quote way, but in a psychological way. Children learn safety from regulated adults. Presence from parents who aren't constantly abandoning themselves. And emotional permission from mothers who allow their own needs to exist without apology. So when you prioritize yourself with integrity, you're not taking away from your family. You're teaching them what wholeness looks like. That doesn't mean neglect. It doesn't mean checking out. It means
refusing to make martyrdom the price of love. Because martyrdom looks like being physically present, but emotionally resentful. It looks like doing everything while feeling invisible. It looks like giving until your body forces you to stop. We often confuse that with devotion because it's what's been modeled for us. But self-loving motherhood feels different in the body. It feels like choice instead of obligation. It feels like clarity instead of chaos. It feels like saying no without collapsing into guilt afterwards. This is where boundaries come in. And I want to be clear, boundaries aren't walls. They're containers. A boundary might sound like, I rest before I'm exhausted. I stop explaining my needs. I let this be good enough. I don't abandon myself to avoid discomfort. It's not about grand gestures. It's about small, repeated signals to your nervous system that you are safe to care for yourself. And safety is built through repetition, not logic. You can intellectually understand you're allowed to rest and still feel guilty every time you do. But doesn't mean you're failing. It means your body hasn't caught up yet. So instead of asking, how do I get rid of guilt? A more supportive question is, how do I move with it without letting it lead? Because guilt doesn't need to disappear for you to choose yourself. You don't need to feel confident to act with self-trust. You don't need to feel certain to honor your needs. And you certainly don't need permission to exist as a whole person. You just need willingness. A willingness to notice when that old story shows up. A willingness to pause instead of react. A willingness to choose alignment over approval. One of the most grounding truths I return to is that guilt is often grief. Grief for the version of you who learned love was conditional. Grief for the way you had to minimize yourself to stay connected. And when you start to see guilt through that lens, it softens. It becomes something you hold instead of something that controls you. And self-priority will stop feeling like rebellion and instead start to feel like repair. Repairing the relationship with yourself. Repairing the trust that got lost along the way. Repairing the belief that your needs are a problem. Self-priority isn't about doing more for yourself. It's about betraying yourself less. It's choosing not to override your body's signals, not to silence your desires, not to dismiss the quiet knowing inside of you. That is where trust rebuilds, not all at once, not dramatically, but through a thousand small moments where you listen instead of override. The beautiful thing is that your nervous system will respond to that. It'll begin to settle, to feel supported, to believe that care is available inwardly and not just externally. You'll probably start to feel less brittle, less reactive, less resentful. Not because life gets easier, but because you're no longer at war with yourself inside it. This is the work beneath the work. The kind that doesn't show up on a to-do list, but it changes everything. And if this stirs something in you,
If it feels familiar or tender or reliving, that's not accidental. It's recognition. Your body remembers what it feels like to be met with grace. I want to offer you something simple here. It's not easy, but gentle. Something you can carry into your week without it becoming another right thing to do. If you're somewhere you can pause even for a moment, let yourself settle. Put your hand on your chest, wherever it feels natural. I want you to bring to mind one belief you've been carrying about what a good mom is supposed to look like. Not the polished version, the honest one. The one that shows up when you're tired or craving space or wanting more. Maybe it sounds like a good mom puts herself last, or a good mom doesn't complain, or a good mom should be grateful, not restless. Let yourself write it down if you can, or just name it quietly in your mind, and notice what happens in your body as you hold that belief. Is there a tightness, a pressure, a subtle bracing? And I want you to gently question it. Not argue with it, but ask, is this actually true for me? Or is this something I inherited? From there, offer yourself a new sentence. One that feels believable, not aspirational. Something your nervous system doesn't immediately reject. It might be, I'm allowed to care for myself and still be a loving mom. Or my needs matter in this family. Or rest makes me more present, not less devoted. Choose one and let this week let that sentence guide a single small act of self-priority. This isn't a makeover of your life. It's just a small moment. Maybe you sit down before doing the dishes. Maybe you say no without explaining. Maybe you take a breath instead of pushing through. And when the guilt shows up, because it probably will, see if you can respond with kindness instead of correction. You can even quietly just say, I'm learning a new way. And that counts. As we close, I want to leave you with this thought. I want you to feel it more than understand it. Guilt is often just an old story trying to keep its place. It's a story that once made sense, one that maybe kept you safe before, or connected, or approved. But stories don't automatically update because our lives do. They need to be revisited, held up to the light, and gently rewritten. If guilt has been loud for you, it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means you're standing at the edge of change. It means that a part of you is learning how to live without abandoning yourself, and that can feel tender, unsteady, brave. There's nothing wrong with you for wanting more ease, more space, or more room to breathe inside your own life. You are not selfish for tending to yourself. You are responsive. You are listening. You are modeling something so powerful, even if no one ever names it out loud. This work doesn't require perfection. It doesn't ask you to never feel guilty again. It simply invites you to notice when an old belief is speaking and choose again and again to lead with grace instead. If you rewrote a belief today, even quietly, I'd love to know. Send it to me, share it where this episode lives, or you can keep it to yourself. It all counts.
What matters is that you let yourself be a part of your own care. You don't have to earn a place here. You already belong. Take a breath with me before you go. Let your body know it's allowed to soften. And when you're ready, carry one small act of self-trust with you into the rest of the day. I'll meet you back here next time.